This is the American Dream, Dustin Rhodes, son of a plumber, daddy, and you're listening to the Bob Culture Podcast.
All right, guys, welcome into a very special NXT TakeOver In Your House edition of the BCP. Excited to have our all-star stellar NXT panel back. Please welcome back to the show. He is the co-host with the most. He has phrased the term the Bob Culture Podcast. He is the human wrestling encyclopedia himself, Mr. Mike Vacchiano. What's up, bro? How are you doing?
Hey, like I said, you need to coin that to one of our other panelists, but I will gladly go down history as a man who coined BCP, so I appreciate that.
That's right.
It's great to be back. Thank you.
The Vac Attack is back, Jack, and please welcome back to the show. He is a BCP OG member. You know him as the anti-smart and cooker of delicious meats. He is a writer for the popbreak.com. The list goes on and on. Please welcome back to the show, the anti-smart, Mr. Matt Wittes. What up, bro? How are you, man?
Yo, let's go.
He's ready, man. That's awesome, man. I'm hoping to see you this weekend. I heard there might be brisket. That's all I'm saying.
I heard a rumor.
Oh, really?
I hear things.
You hear things? Okay. That's all. That's good enough for me. It's my favorite. The man makes the best brisket. Just ask Twitter. And guys, please welcome back to the show. There is not enough time to do the Goodest Sisters intro, but she is the Goodest Sister. She is Kimmy, so cool from what? Kimmy Talks Wrestling, Wrestling with Questions. I mean, name drop. I'm so proud. And the popbreak.com now.
And you forgot No Holds Barred Network with Kyle. Kyle would Shane Bell you if you didn't give him justice.
I'm used to getting that Shane Bell. So, but Kimmy, thank you for making time for us. You're so busy.
No problem. I had to make time. We're going to be in your house, technically. It's NXT time. This is really important. I'm really excited. And we have some Fatal 5-Way things to talk about.
Yeah. And you hit it right on the head, Kimmy, already off to a great start. But like, that's worth the price of admission, or, you know, what you pay every month for Peacock, whatever it is. But that got me hyped, you know, just that 5-Way and the booking on this. As much as we complain about a lot of like the Raw and SmackDown stuff, I thought the booking on this was stellar, absolutely stellar. Even the stuff where they're bringing in the $1 million belt, the little segments in between, like Regal getting involved and stuff, just every little thing, the thing with Poppy and Indy Hartwell, and like, it's gold. Like, and we've been big NXT people, but we call it right down the middle. And I think it's just been phenomenal. So I think we're all very excited to get into this one. So let's start with, we'll take on Mercedes Martinez taking on Xia Li. I'm just going to keep it short and sweet with this one, guys. I'm gonna go Xia Li on this one because of who she has in her corner. And like we always say on this show, like I always say to you, Matt, like they haven't done anything yet. Like we need to see like whoever's in the chair, like, you know, it's gonna be good. And I keep saying that whoever's in that chair is gonna be amazing and awesome. Matt, I'll throw it to you, man. Your thoughts on this match. Who's winning?
You became dangerously close to quoting Jim Cornette with the anybody in a box is over. Anybody who comes out of a box. Yeah. But no, I think you're right on that. Right now, there's a lot of rumors or rumblings that Mercedes Martinez is going to be seen on Monday night or Friday night as the hired muscle for the returning Eva Marie. Oh. If that does happen, this is a great way to send her off, bring up Xia Li. Since this whole thing where she's kind of come back and beating the hell out of Boa for whatever reason. And then, you know, they've got the mystical aspect, that whole thing that's gone on. They only got, you know, Casey Catanzaro and Caden Carter as on their hit list. This is another win to rack up. This starts moving them into that middle tier now before they start sending her up the chain.
Yeah. And,
you know, Mercedes doesn't need it. This Xia Li, the character, does.
Yeah, Xia, I agree. And Xia Li's been doing amazing things. That new look, she's making it work, man. It's awesome. I'm very excited to see what her and that faction does moving forward. The Goodest Sister, we'll throw it to you. Your thoughts on this one.
Yay. Really? Okay. So I really hope I don't see Mercedes Martinez the next night on Monday Night Raw. I'm going to throw my TV out the window no matter what happens.
How many TVs have you thrown out the window at this point?
Shockingly, none. Almost, though. Very close. And Monday, if Mercedes comes out with Eva, I think it is going to happen.
Oh, man. But
I know. I'm going to go with Xia Li just because I agree with what Matt said. She has to kind of make her way into NXT. She hasn't really done anything. And with this new character in this heelish thing, I believe she's a heel. I get confused of who's a heel and face in NXT. And we'll get to that in the main event. So I'll go with Xia Li to make herself look strong. And I believe her first NXT takeover match.
Very well said, Kimmy. And bringing it to your point about the heels and the faces, Bill and I have been talking about that on the show for like over a year now. It does get kind of confusing, but they at the same time are very good at towing that line. But a lot of the bad guys are very popular. I've done my rants about Johnny. We'll get into that in a little bit. But you bring up some great points as always, Kimmy. Let's throw it to the VAC attack.
Totally with you guys. I say Xia Li's winning this. I mean, her gimmick has been really good. It's been intimidating. Mercedes Martinez can easily lose this match and not look weak when they do some kind of like, you know, mystical, as you said, you know, lights out, black magic, who knows what's going to happen. But yes, and I'd also heard Mercedes might be coming to Raw or SmackDown, and I never thought about the enforcer role for Eva Marie and or like her backup. But yeah, I totally can see that happening because, you know, and also Mercedes Martinez, like what, 15 to 20 year veteran in the business. Like this is her shot now to finally get some exposure, maybe even, I mean, she's a backup. I see that. But I can see her being a threat to either Rhea or Bianca as well. Like being somebody who's like an intimidating veteran who gives them like a good physical matchup, you know, who can actually try to match power and, it, you know, size with them. So, but yeah, I mean, for this one, for In Your House, I'm going with Xia Li.
Very well said, guys. And I'm looking at the rest of this card, you know, aside from the NXT Women's Championship match, I have trouble picking a lot of winners on this. I think this is just some stellar, stellar booking. So let's throw it to this one. I'm interested to see what you guys think on this one. MSK and Bronson Reed taking on Legado del Fantasma in a winner-take-all match for the NXT Tag Team titles. Oh, I see Kimmy shaking her head already. And the North American Championship. I'm about it because this is something like when Mike and I would play like the video games. Like this is a match we would make like it was 2 weeks ago, really. But no, like we were growing up, like we would make a match like this, like where we would have like three belts defended on a three-on-three match. I think it's very interesting. I think it's a lot of fun. You don't see the other brands do this as much. Like it's been a while.
You don't. You're like, you see, sometimes it'll be like, you know, the women's champion, like the Intercontinental champion would be on one team.
Right.
And then it'll be like, yes.
Oh, yeah. Like, I guess they did with Seth and Becky at that one.
Becky.
That was the last time at Extreme Rules 2019 versus Lacey Evans and Baron Corbin.
I should know. I reviewed that one. Yes. And then Brock came out and cashed in the boombox. I'm sorry.
We don't need to talk about that part.
Can we get a Brock scream? That's all.
It was a great bit. It really was.
But yes, that was Extreme Rules 19. Yes, thank you.
We're all over the place for this one, but you guys bring up some great points as always. Vac, I'll throw it to you first, man. Is there going to be a changing of three belts in this match?
No. I think this is honestly the send-off for Legado del Fantasma. I can see them going to SmackDown.
Wow, a lot of call-ups.
Well, I mean, look, we talked about, look, I know people have addressed. I know, Kimmy, you had your article, which is very good, by the way, about the recent releases from last week. There's times. And Legado, and what's his name?
Santos.
Yes, Escobar. Thank you. Why am I drawing a blank? Santos did an awesome job with the Cruiserweight belt. And I personally was really impressed with his match with Karrion Kross a couple months ago. Because I'm like, he showed he can hang with someone like the more elite, more bigger name talent. He's got a good enough size to him where he could compete if he wants to for a US or IC belt or just be another stable. Because it looks like Swerve Scott and Hit Row are going to like be taking up that mantle. And I'm so happy for Swerve Scott. Totally deserves this. Head of a stable. Will always been a fan of him. But this is another way for Bronson Reed and
MSK. Yeah.
MSK
there's
to
BSK in wrestling.
I know. A I'm a little. Yeah. Got MSK daddy.
2000.
There's a lot.
But no, I mean, I was so happy for Bronson Reed that he got the Duke a couple weeks ago. Totally earned. Such a likable guy. So good. And so I see it being a fantastic match, but I go with Bronson Reed and MSK.
Kimmy.
So here's my issue with that call-up thing. The draft isn't happening till after SummerSlam. So we have a while. And apparently the next takeover is going to be the night after SummerSlam. So if any big thing is going to happen, it would be at that takeover. So I don't see Legado del Fantasma or anybody except Mercedes, just because it's been rumored being called up. Here's my problem with this match. There's obviously a reason why we haven't seen this in nearly 2 years. It kind of backs you into a corner, because then if Legado del Fantasma loses, where the hell do they go? It's not like they could challenge them separately. And then they kind of just fade away. And how are you going to have them fade away and then get called up in August? Which is why I don't really like the winner-take-all matchup. I would rather them have two separate matches. I know NXT TakeOvers, they try to keep it short, but it would literally just be six matches and it would still end by 10 o'clock. But I don't see MSK and Bronson Reed winning, especially because when Bronson Reed won against Gargano in the steel cage, they had this very emotional video package about how it was 14 years to the day, and to have him have such a quick reign would be really stupid.
If it was two separate matches, then yeah, I could see Bronson retaining and maybe Legato and Mendoza and Joaquin Wild possibly getting the tag belts, because they've been doing fantastic too. It could have been, you know, split right there. But yes, when it's winner take all, yes, because of the Bronson Reed factor and because of Legato maybe having their done with time with NXT done, maybe they're going to move up. Yeah, but you know, I see what you're saying about the fact that it could have been the winner take all kind of. It's already cements who's going to win. I know. And I get that.
Thank you. For that, I go with Bronson Reed and MSK. Faces take the win.
I'll echo some of those sentiments. I think the reign is too short for Bronson. And I know we use that argument a lot on the podcast. Like, oh, he just got it and all that stuff. But not every belt has a stay on, guys. You know, we see a lot of hot potato belts here and there. But I'm going to say Bronson keeps the belt, which by default means MSK, who I don't think have lost a match, really retain the belts here. Correct me if I'm wrong. They went all the way in that tournament. They had a strong debut. They won the titles right away. I mean, maybe they lost one or two, but nothing I saw. So I'm going to say they retain here, but I could see it honestly going either way. Like we always say, the real winners in this match, the fans. Let's throw it to the Annie Smark.
I had an answer, and then Vax was talking, and I went one way, and then Kimmy was talking, I went another way. And Kimmy brings up a great point about, okay, if this is a case where it looks like the losers are the winners are the losers tonight, because if you lose, you're looking at a call up, which means you could end up on Raw. So
that's the problem right there. If you end up on Raw.
Yeah. But again, there's another takeover between now and when the draft happens, which they could bring up a lot of people. And it's almost like the old territory booking. Like if you're going from one town to another, you use somebody up and you haven't put everybody over on their way out. But for a month straight, it doesn't seem like they're doing that right. Which will lead to a huge rant when we get to the main event, because there's a lot I don't think they're doing right with that. But... But yeah, on top of that, I'll coin flip it here, because yeah, if I'm gonna say todos legados siempre legado on this one, because
wow, see,
just because they need something between now and when they go up. If they go up, they take over a faction spot. The fact that You hate to pigeonhole and make that comparison, but Santos Escobar fills the role that workhorse Andrade was filling, but he has the language skills to talk to an arena full of people, which Andrade was having trouble with all the way through. So he would be a smart call-up for Raw or SmackDown, if there's such a thing as a smart call for Raw. I'm going to go with Legado. Let them be the new undisputed era for about a month or so, where they've got a bunch of the belts.
Wow.
Just look at us. We're the winners. And then just have them get the shit kicked out of them, like, you know, on staggered weeks, so that one loses the belt, the other loses the belt. They're on their way out, and then they're on regular TV.
Very interesting. And again, a lot of our decisions based on like call-ups and things of that. I don't even like saying call up. You know, I know like some of the guys didn't like that term as well, because NXT's killing it. Like we keep talking
about
SmackDown's been pretty solid.
It's my favorite show on TV.
Look, every build up for this match has been really well. Yes. Like, you know,
yes.
And like you said, talk about Regal, we'll get to that, how he's kind of like, you know,
the little skits with
your guy, the build up. To the moon, I will get to that. And I got plenty to say.
Let's get to it right now.
Oh, thankful the transition.
So this is another one, man. Again, this is almost like a fan booking kind of one. Like it's like you're in the game. Oh, let's put the $1 million bell on the line, man. And the way they're doing it with I almost said Eli Drake, with Cameron Grimes and LA Knight, La Knight. It's gonna be very interesting. I could see it go either way, honestly, because LA Knight really has a lot of those $1 million man qualities. Like you notice his laugh in a little way is kind of similar. He's a big personality, you know, not to say the beard, but he's got a little bit of the $1 million man in him. I see it. Cameron Grimes, the complete opposite, but like he always says, man, he's riding that wave of momentum to the moon, climbing that ladder. Correct me if I'm wrong. It is a ladder match for the $1 million.
It's not just any ladder match. It's a golden industrial ladder painted with money signs.
I love that.
Specific.
Thank you, Kimmy. That's why you're here. And I popped for that, but it was really well done. Like the presentation with the belt, looked great. Like a lot of nostalgia. Like, again, that's something I think we would want on Raw or SmackDown, but they're not going to do it. You know what I mean? Like they'd bring back DiBiase, no question, but the way they've brought him into this storyline and used him, which was brilliant. And it's all kind of silly too, but the fact that they're bringing this belt back makes it like really fun for the fans and somewhat serious, because there is a prestige that goes with that title. You know, it's one you don't see that often. So I'm very excited as a fan to see that title back in play. I do think it can go either way, but I have to say, like, Grimes has had the momentum longer. LA Knight has lost a lot, which is very surprising to me, but I'm going to say Cameron Grimes takes that $1 million belt.
Tell him, man.
There it is. Matt, I know LA Knight's your guy. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
What do you got?
That's part of what makes this seem like a tough call. Again, we're pretending we're in a, you know, that we know their plans or whatever. You would think that, again, if you followed, you know, LA Knight from when he was Eli Drake and NWA Impact, when he's Sean Ricker tagging with Brian Cage back in out there and Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. You give that guy a live mic in front of a crowd when crowds are coming back. You give him an arena full of people. They're going to get their sing-along part that everybody seems to love. People love to echo what The Rock is saying. They love to yell bay-bay on cue.
Boom.
And they are going to follow along with him. Here's the thing, though. Does Cameron Grimes need this $1 million belt and persona? Not really. He's very much like his own character before that. He was over with that character. If he's trying to go up, then whether it's in NXT or something, yeah, I would say so. I think LA Knight just needs a win. Because if he's staying or if he's going, forget the fact that they both lost to Jake Atlas in the past month and Jake Atlas isn't in the match. I would imagine, I was half expecting Ted DiBiase goes, by the way, it's a three-way because you both lost to this guy. That would have been great. I think it's going to be Cameron Grimes.
Wow. I thought you were picking your guy.
Because I don't see if LA Knight wins, then he's holding onto that belt. He's probably taking it to another show. If he's showing up with the belt, that means they got to have Ted DiBiase with him for a few weeks. Phase out Ted DiBiase. Have him get the credit. It's a longer program. And even if that's the right way to go, that's not the way they usually go.
Yeah, a couple things to your point. And again, like we're involving Raw and SmackDown and everything, which is really interesting. I don't think the belt will go to another show. I mean, that would be a lot of fun, though. Like, they scrap
the show with a small roster.
Yeah, that, I mean, even smaller every week, apparently. It's crazy, man. But there's some interesting points. They may have telegraphed this one, because when Cameron Grimes came in and, you know, was suddenly like rich and like, I put my money into GameStop. Like, it was like, wait, this is so random. I'm like, why are they, you know, putting a hat on a hat with him? Literally. But it worked so well, and it does work. So I do see him getting that belt. That could have been the long game, to obviously, to bring in the $1 million man, and to Cameron Grimes to have that belt. Who is he going to feud with? LA Knight is perfect. So this is some good booking. I just really think it's going to be Cameron Grimes. Kimmy, I'm very interested to hear what you have to say.
So Anti-Smart actually touched on a question I had. Is Ted DiBiase staying after TakeOver, or is he done after this? Like, that was a question I had, or do we not know?
He's like a minister, so I think he's probably not.
But doesn't he reside in Florida? So if he's staying in NXT, it would be good. I mean, he was billed from Palm Beach, Florida, you know, back where, like, you know,
Can you do the laugh? It's pretty good. He's two for two. Go ahead, Kimmy.
So that was my, like,
I hurt my throat. Thing.
I was like, oh, is he going to stay? I don't know. But then when you all were talking, I had this vision, right? And it was so weird, because I could totally imagine LA Knight winning, and then Cameron Grimes just being like, it was a ladder match. It wasn't fair. Because, you know, he likes to say that things just aren't his fair and things aren't his way. So I could totally see him doing that, and then them doing a rematch. But I'm still not picking LA Knight. I think Cameron... See, I think Grimes needs this, because Grimes, too, really hasn't gotten any wins. You know, Stand and Deliver, he was in the sixth way, didn't really get any momentum there, and he just was thrown to this thing with DiBiase. So I think you could put LA Knight, I don't know where, but somewhere else, or even just, I'm getting countered.
Oh, no, keep going. You just gave me an amazing idea.
Oh, my God, I love when we book things better than WWE is going to do it.
So can the house cat. Don't get too excited.
Oh, yikes.
Oh, but or they could do this match again and just standard, not ladder. But I'm going to go with Cameron Grimes, and we're going to go to the moon. I like his promo last night, too. His promo made it feel very hyped up, and it made me really excited. This is actually the match I'm most looking forward to. So thanks, Cameron Grimes.
That's right. And the fans also popped for him. You knew they would. Also, I see him getting that $1 million melt. Belt, like, there'll be a lot of Cameron Grimes merch, like a lot more. I'm buying you that hat, by the way. Matt, did you want to piggyback real quick on something?
Yeah, I just came up with an interesting idea. And this is a deep dive. I don't think they're going to mention it, but quite some time ago, The Rock had a reality show competition show, The Hero, that LA Knight was on. And there was a part where you could kind of sell out your team for, I think it was like $30,000 or whatever. And he took it, cash in hand. Now, LA Knight might want to fight for the prestige of the $1 million belt. But if Cameron Grimes is willing to hook him up with a whole lot of dog coin and pay him off to take the dive, I think it's a very $1 million thing to do.
It is, but that's would be a lot of fun. But there's only a couple matches, like it's a ladder match, so I think it has to happen. But that's a really good point. Like, maybe in like a rematch or something, it'll happen like that. I mean, let's be real, they're gonna end up being tag partners or something like that. I hope not.
No,
I hope not. But yeah, but Vac, go ahead, brother.
Oh, I love the God. Odd couple tag.
All right, without a doubt, LA Knight's winning this match. And I got a few things. No, I'm saying right now, I'm saying, because look, LA Knight reminds me of like mid-90s Steve Austin. Remember Steve Austin? Yeah, the ringmaster, but then he was the $1 million champion.
He never talked heard about that on the bump this morning.
He's very like, he does the fundamentals. He's got very like a very basic rudimentary set, but he hits them so smooth and crisp. So he's got that. So I'll give LA Knight that.
I hate his new finisher, though.
What?
I hate his new finisher.
Okay. It's but I mean, yes, and like you said, you've been a fan, Matt. He carries himself like a star, totally. And I could see DiBiase getting involved. DiBiase can just stick around. DiBiase doesn't have to cut promos. He can just laugh or say everybody's got a price and do the laugh at the very end of LA Knight's promos. Now
it's like Krusty. You say the five phrases.
Kind of, yeah. It's like, all right. Hey. No, but it just fits with LA Knight's persona, him carrying the $1 million belt. Now, Grimes. I cannot say enough that Cameron Grimes has been one of my favorite parts of NXT for the past year. Love everything he's done. Love his character. Love this whole, like, you know, new money kind of thing. What is it? The kids call it bougie? Is that what they call it?
You're asking the wrong guy.
Yeah. Basically, white
trash. Thanks, Jimmy. Thank you.
For white trash with money. That's basically what it is. And I love it. It's like, I could totally see him getting screwed out of this. Maybe DiBiase costs him this match. And Cameron Grimes comes out with his own ghetto ass $1 million belt. And I'm saying it right now, obviously with the dollar signs, right? I can see Cameron Grimes having the C with the slash, like cent, because he's like, you know, he's not, he's like, I'm a thousandaire, baby. Look at, I got Cuban zirconias and I got everything on this belt. And you know, everything like
pretty
that.
Good, dude.
And here's the thing. Also, because we're getting back to live crowds, Cameron Grimes, I guarantee it, the first live crowd back for NXT is going to go nuts for him. He's one of the most self-made popular guys who built up his character. See, he's a guy who, like I said, he can lose 20 matches a year and still be over. He hasn't got a lot of wins, and he probably won't get a lot of wins. He won't win this one. But his, first of all, his, also somebody had a good point. His style is more of like a face kind of style.
I agree with that.
That like power slam Spanish fly looking thing that always looks cool as hell.
Yeah.
The cave in. Yes. He's dirty, unkempt like guy. He's what they call, was it the new money, as they call it?
All I know is on commentary, I'm literally just going to wear a jacket with no t-shirt.
And not his true. And all, and his wad of bills is just... And he always says the sweaty ass, disgusting money that you always get whenever you do take cash in a transaction, everything like that. Yes. He's got, you know, when you live like a lot of bills in your bathing suit when you go to the beach and then you take it out and it's all like, right. All like, okay. All right.
but we digress.
But I would just say in the fantasy booking, I'd say him coming out was like, I got me my own new $1 million bill. It's the camera grounds with the slash through.
It's so funny, but you led this in with LA Knight winning and you're still talking Cameron Grimes, man. Because he doesn't need it.
He doesn't need it, you know, and he can lose this match and it'll be sympathetic. I'm saying like people's like, oh, why is he going face? Why is he facing a heel in LA Knight? Because they know Cameron Grimes is going to get cheers when they go back to live crowds.
All right. Very interesting. I'm surprised.
May as well do it. It's one of those things where it's like a heel who became cool. Enough as the fans like.
I just see him. I see him with that belt. I can see either of those guys with the belt, to be honest. But I see Grimy with that belt.
Okay, Grimy.
And it's interesting because looking at, you know, that now that they're touring again, you know, whenever they come to the area, I'll go to Raw, SmackDown, whatever it is, just to kind of get out and see everyone again. It'll be good. But NXT doesn't look like it's going to be doing any sort of touring from the dates I look at. It, it's all Capital Performance Center or whatever.
Oh, so they're not. They're
nothing announced yet. They will eventually, because we love going to the house shows. There's
talk of them going back to Full Sail.
Interesting.
So why not? At least they get the student body, at least for September when they start classes again or something like that.
But they did a lot of those house shows around here, Tom's River, Asbury, and those are always great, man.
But they may be getting like, they may not be doing like 3,000 seat places. They may be doing like 15,000 seat places.
We'll see.
And we'll still go.
We'll see what happens. Yeah, that's it. We'll go at the end of the day and everyone will be cheering Cameron Grimes. But let's keep it moving here, guys. We'll go to the NXT Women's Championship. Real quick, is Shotzi injured in any form or fashion or no?
She tweeted it. Don't know if it was kayfabe or not.
Interesting. Okay. That's what I thought. Raquel Gonzalez taking on Ember Moon as the number one contender here. Very interesting to me. I'm going to keep this very, very short and sweet. Love both those ladies. They're both fantastic. I've been a big fan of Raquel for a long time now. We saw her at Evolve a while. And I think she took on Shotzi, if I remember correctly. She did take on Shotzi. She hit her with a cowbell. But it's very interesting. She told her to move. Texas. But,
wow.
Yeah, bad joke.
Wow.
But I think Raquel.
Undisputed error, I think.
Everyone is leaving the podcast right now. 10 people turned it off to all my listeners. But I think Raquel is just going to win this one here. I think it's going to be a really good match. They're going to give it time. Ember's going to show up and show out, but they're going to make Raquel, you know, very dominant after dethroning Io, who just returned. That'll be interesting as well. We'll take that into account. But this match, I think, you know what? Put it down. Rob's lock of the night. Kyle, get that graphic, get that sound effect. Kimmy's like, no one's on the other side of this, but this is my lock of the night anyway. It's my lock of the night.
But okay, we need to rewind. The last time you did this, it was for Britt and Sheeta, where it was 100% certain Britt was going to win. What's the lock of the night?
It's locked in. It's a safe bet. It's 100%. Was I wrong?
But it was so obvious.
You're like, no one's on the other side of this. Kimmy, who you got?
So I see this as the start of Dakota and Raquel slowly but surely breaking into separate.
I forgot about Dakota, so there you go.
That's the point. Forgot about Kai.
Sir, you do realize that last night it was Dakota versus Ember, and there was a DQ because Ember hit Raquel, right?
Yeah, I may have missed that, but yes.
Unbelievable. We're going to have to shame bell you next time we get Kyle.
That's fine. I'm used to it.
Anyway, So I see this as the slow disintegration of Raquel and Dakota. Like I said, I think that's going to be the match with the next takeover. I think Ember's here to put the young talent over. I'm very excited for this match, but I'm going to go with Raquel Gonzalez.
Correct answer, Kimmy. Vac.
I'm not going to say it. Yeah, everyone thought Britt Baker was going to win that anyway. But yeah, this would be probably the easiest call of the night. I could say Raquel is winning. They've just built her ascension so much. Yeah. The War Games victory, the Rhea Ripley last woman standing, obviously having Io Shirai's number, especially when it mattered most. And Dakota Kai has taken the fall in every single tag match they've had. They've switched a little bit roles in the sense that instead of like Raquel being her bodyguard, now Dakota's her lackey. And you're right. It says, we've seen this multiple times. It's the Shawn Michaels, Diesel, mid-90s.
Or as Matt calls them, Big Mama Cool and HB Kai.
Big Mommy Cool.
Big Mommy Cool. I'm sorry. Mommy
Trademark cool. Matt Wittes. Anyway. But yes, I could totally see Dakota Kai finally like saying, like, you know what? I've had enough. Like, I brought you into this. And now, like, you know, everyone's talking about you. And basically, and they could do something where maybe she goes after her, chop walks, takes out her knee, and eventually faces her with a bad knee. So it looks like it's somewhat of on a level playing field. But Raquel's going to have a nice reign. I see Raquel maybe later in the summer having one more rematch with Io before Io gets moved up to Raw or SmackDown. I can see Io saying, like, I want one more chance, and if I can't beat you, you won't see me in NXT anymore. Could be something like that. Yeah. You know? And Io deserves that chance to mix it up with some of the other ladies who she hasn't really fought yet, because we got some great matches. Her and Bayley and Sasha and eventually
Becky.
Becky, thank you.
You notice Becky is wearing all my laminates, Kimmy? I stole that from your Seth.
You're copying me.
I told you I would.
Okay, by the way, July 16th, she's coming back at that SmackDown. The first time with fans, calling it right now.
That's really smart.
Yeah, I totally see that.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. And look at you, Kimmy. Wow. But for this one, yes, easily. Raquel Gonzalez, without a doubt.
Back to Raquel. Raquel.
Let's throw it to the Annie Smart.
Yes! Oh,
of course. Lock of the night.
Yes. There's it just makes sense. When they ended their segment, was it last night? Ember looked really strong at the end. She managed to escape the one arm power bomb with a stunner.
Yeah.
Countered that. It looked great. Most of what Ember does looks great. But right now, and this is also part of the tag dynamics, Ember and Shotzi are here, and they keep going like this. They are a great tag team.
Yeah.
They've got a great look on top of everything else. Yes. If anybody's getting called up there, I don't think they're calling Raquel up yet. I know they love how that she told
me
and everything, but if they're going to bring Ember back up and bring Shotzi with her, because holy crap, you put that on a poster and people go, okay, I want to go see those two.
Yeah.
That is.
No, I love their whole female Road Warriors like thing and everything like that. They mess so well.
You have my curiosity, now you have my attention. That's what happens when they put those two out there. And yeah, Ember's going to go out there, feed the monster, and maybe something, yeah, Kimmy's talking about that eventual program, the meltdown with Dakota Kai, is coming eventually. And she'll probably be the one to see Raquel off. She really built her up and kind of nurtured her, was like the handler for the past, year and a half now. And
back when she was Reina.
Something like a chop block, some sort of cheap win to send her off. And she can gloat in that when she's the champ and Raquel is, losing to Tamina on Raw. So, oh wow, even a vocal reaction, just everybody just cringe.
No, I'm laughing.
I appreciate it.
If Mercedes is not going
on the inside though.
No, I see Mercedes Martinez being eventually the new Tamina type role on whatever role she goes on to. Reina, to me, I feel like has a little bit more upside. Maybe it's just because of the youth on the side, but that's a different scenario.
But very interesting points, Matt. Like, again, hashtag wrestling fashion. They got the look. Like, you know, the young girls are going to come want to see these girls at events. I want to see these girls at events. It's going to be amazing. So kind of keep them together if you can whenever Shotzi does come back. I think that's a really great point. We all agree here. Raquel is going to win this one. And let's talk about this. This is the price of admission right here. Kimmy, do we have the same brain right now? Oh, my gosh. This is interesting.
Kyle was wearing this before on his stream, and I was like, I have to get mine out because I want to wear it because this is who I think is going to win.
Kimmy. All right. Very interesting. So we'll start here. Of course, oh, it is Lord. The fatal same brain. Fatal four-way for our audio listeners, by the way.
Five-way.
Thank you, Michael. For our audio listeners, Kimmy put on a Shock the System hat. But it's a fatal five-way. Thank you, Vac, for the NXT Championship. I almost said Killer Cross. Karrion Kross taking on Adam Cole.
Bebe.
Thank you. versus Kyle O'Reilly versus Johnny Gargano versus who am I? So Pete Dunne. Can't read my own handwriting again. I always like to go the process of elimination in these matches. I'll say this, that fatal four-way we watched at your house, Vac, when it was Ciampa, Cole, Gargano, Finn, we were hyped for that match. It was an hour-long, Iron Man?
It was a 60-minute Iron Man match.
And it was forgettable. I hate it. There's such good competitors. It was forgettable, man. That triple threat 2 weeks ago on NXT, I believe it was, Dunn, O'Reilly, Gargano, chef's kiss. Oh, my gosh. So good. I hate the way it ended, but you kind of knew it was going to end that way. I didn't know it was going to turn into a fatal five-way or five-way dance, whatever you want to call it. But when Karrion Kross is like, feed me all of them, give me all of them, whatever it is, my initial reaction is this is Karrion Kross's dominance. This is going to show how he's going to run through all of them. He wanted this match. And then I was thinking, if Karrion Kross does lose, because he doesn't lose, he lost in one tag team match, I believe, with Finn. If Karrion Kross does lose, it's going to be in a scenario where he doesn't get pinned, where he doesn't look weak, and he's taking on more than one guy. Well, he's taking on four other guys.
Yeah.
There's a very, and I'm not just being like, yeah, you can book him to win or whatever. And that was my initial thought. But I always like to do that process of elimination. And I think if the title changes, if Karrion loses the title, it has to be in a scenario where he doesn't look weak, where he doesn't win. So by process, Kimmy, you getting ready over there. By process of elimination, I don't think O'Reilly takes it. He's had some great number one contender bouts, but I just don't think he's there yet. No offense. Dunn is there, but I just don't see him winning that. Gargano, like even Nunes says, Gargano is not going to win it. And I'd be so happy if he did. He's doing great things with the way. I really like what he turned it into. Like, I have my issues with him being a heel, but he made that comedy aspect of it work, and it's great, and the whole group's great. The gear's great. Hashtag wrestling fashion. I could talk about Johnny all day, but really, guys, like, this figure, can we not ship it in a bag, all dented and stuff like that? But I digress. Very excited about
Rebel Heartbroken.
Rebel Heartbroken. Who else we got? So I don't think Karrion Kross is, because this is the only way he could win. So, Kimmy, I'm with you. Let's get it up here for those that could see. And that's
Adam Cole, baby.
Adam Cole, baby. Kimmy, same brain. For those listening on the audio podcast, I have my Undisputed wristband on. And I believe that Nunes thinks Undisputed Era is going to get back together, like just like that. We saw some Bobby Fish videos. Ryder Roderick handed in his resignation, whatever that was. It's very interesting. So Nunes thinks they're going to get back together. I don't know about all that. Maybe it would be really cool. But I think Adam Cole will be the face of NXT again. Kimmy, I see you wearing that hat. Piggyback.
All right. So, Johnny, I'm sorry, Nunes. Johnny Gargano is taking the pin. That is the only reason he's here.
Sorry, bro. Ooh.
It's true.
No, so, I don't. Yeah, I feel unfortunately like he can take the pin. Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah, I don't see anyone else in this match taking the pin right now.
Kyle, see, here's my thing. Because Adam and Kyle can have another match. Because technically, they've only had one. And Adam lost. So, here, we could paint this picture. SummerSlam weekend. It's Las Vegas. Kyle somehow wins the number one contender match. And then Kyle could go to Adam and be like, you know, I have your number. I beat you already. This is my time. And if you go back to their Ring of Honor days, this is exactly the picture. Because every time Kyle tried and Kyle tried and Kyle tried, but Kyle could never do it until it was like the fourth or fifth time. But here, after this SummerSlam, we talk about call-ups. You could call up Adam and you could put him on the blue brand. Don't put him on Raw. put him on blue. We like the color blue on this podcast. Pete Dunne, I feel like it could be time for him, but I don't think that's really their vision right now. Him, I could totally see him versus Kyle in Kyle's first defense. Cross, you know, Adam was right. The lights, the girls, the music. But once you ring, the only thing to make Adam Cole special is you ring the freaking bell. And that's why in your house main event, Adam Cole is your new NXT champion.
Wow, Kimmy just dropping the mic right there. And a couple little things, like it almost seemed like they went off script a little bit in recent weeks, a little bit. They're like the little jabs and stuff. I think someone dropped a off the mic F-bomb and things like that. But there's like little things where they were kind of picking each other. They were really like picking at Cross's, how do I put this, fluidity in the ring, I guess. Gargano made a comment like, oh, don't stumble when you go over. Like, I was surprised they let him say that. You know what I mean? Like, why would you make like a guy like Cross look weak? Like, I'm a fan. I think he's great. Very well spoken too. I love to see him on the mic. As Bill says, smoothest handshake in the business. But I think there's like little jabs where they're kind of coming off script and they're saying things to make, not to make Cross look weak, but to make him look like there's, you know, flaws in the armor. And I notice little things like that, which makes me think he's going to lose. So Kimmy and I are going Adam Cole, Bay Bay. Very, very interesting stuff. Although I do think it's going to be Cole Cross on that SummerSlam takeover. That's my thought. I think we ran O'Reilly and Cole too much. I don't think Riley's there. He's a great wrestler, almost like a Daniel Bryan, maybe.
Ran them too much. They've had one match in NXT.
No,
Have you seen Raw?
That's fair. First of all, that's fair. But in terms of like O'Reilly, he's been the number one contender a couple times with Finn.
Yeah, a couple. Like two really great matches.
He's in the title shit. Picture again. I'm a fan. I like what they're doing, but it's almost like I don't even mean like he's not ready, but it's like he comes out with like the Orange Cassidy gear one week and it's like, are you trying to make him something that he's not? And then they're taking shots at his, like, I guess he's doing the denim thing too. I don't know if that's like an inverted shot at AEW, but I feel like they just don't know what to do with him when he's not with the Undisputed Era. His in-ring skills are great, but I don't think it's going to be O'Reilly at that SummerSlam. It could be, but first we got to see who wins the title here. Matt, we'll throw it to you.
All right, everybody, hope you packed a lunch because I got a lot on this one.
All yours, man.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, again, going through the numbers here. Johnny Takeover doesn't need it. He's got a lot going on. Pete Dunne, I like him. He's great. Right now in this whole picture, he's an also ran. Kyle O'Reilly. I mean, it looks like they have big plans for him. He's certainly got the chops. For whatever reason, they've been dressing him like Ducky from Pretty in Pink for the last couple of weeks. he's got the cauliflower ear and the submission gimmick, and you just dressed him like a guy out of 2004 for whatever. So this really comes down to two things. One, two things are going to happen. If Cross loses, I don't see him eating the pin. I would see Adam Cole actually like kind of sneaking in on somebody that he turns inside out and getting the pin and grabbing the belt and running away like a gas station weasel. And just Cross sitting there fuming and just spending the next month trying to get his hands back on Adam Cole for the next pay-per-view, like Kimmy was talking. The way that they did that, like you're talking, Rob, this past week they did it very well. Johnny Gargano with the, we know you're not the most graceful guy in there. And he's definitely gotten slower since he hurt himself with Keith Lee. I think he's also come close to hurting some other people. Like, he's definitely turned some people inside out and upside down. So I think he's kind of slowing himself down for that purpose. Maybe this is just me spitballing. But 2 weeks ago, I don't know whether that was off script or whatever, but Adam Cole comes out. he basically calls Karrion Kross, who is like a head taller, rippling with muscles and tattoos, his woman right next to him, basically calling him a baby back bitch, right away, taking a bottle of water and throwing it at him and his girlfriend and Miller. And okay, he's going to talk. He's going to talk. That's, you know, Adam Cole's great. He can be that guy who gets under your skin, but that's carrying. Why is he not breaking his neck like a chicken? Why? That's the whole point. If they're not going to touch, if you're going to keep guys away, you don't put them in that scenario, because now one guy's running his mouth and the other guy is just sitting there taking it. There wasn't security holding him back. There wasn't a plexiglass barrier. You know, he was on a video screen this week. If he had done all this through the video screen last week, that's brilliant. And then he does it again this week, and you're real tough behind it. And then boom, he gets hit blindsided like he did. That would work great. Okay. We're back with this. The winners are the losers of the winners, the losers are the winners of the losers. I can really see them wanting to bring Killer Kross and Scarlett, Karrion Kross and Scarlett to one of the other shows.
Wow, again.
I don't think that's happening yet. I think that because Kyle O'Reilly needs a singles match to put him on.
Wow.
That doesn't happen here. And I don't know if he's going to be the one to dethrone Karrion Kross to send him out. But nobody makes their way, except for Asuka, nobody makes their way out of NXT undefeated. I'm going to say Kross retains. I'm going to say Kross retains. And because I don't know what, because the money match is with O'Reilly and Cole. Now, Kimmy's youthful exuberance is starting to win me over here.
Yeah.
And my own logic hiccup there.
Final answer.
Gas station weasel.
Wow, he's going Adam Cole, baby.
I see again. He beats Gargano, wow. Or Dunn eats the pin. He runs out. Kross throws a fit, gets suspended.
Oh.
Takes him out of the picture. Now it's Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly, and that's the SummerSlam takeover.
Wow. I can't argue with that. It makes a lot of sense. Plus, I think Vince was very high on like Scarlett and Kross already. So I think I'd heard that earlier on. Kimmy is applauding. Vac, take us home. Should I put this wristband on you? Where are we going, bro?
Make it four.
All right. Well, you know what? This has been a tough call. First off, we'll get everyone, by the way. Gargano, no. And you're right, Kimmy, taking the pin. And I'll give you snaps on that. Speaking of finger snaps and going to Pete Dunne.
It's kind of roundabout, but yeah.
No, but Pete Dunne, like, I love him because he makes everything look brutal, and he makes guys twice his size crumble to their knees just by like bending your hands back in really disgusting ways and everything like that. But no, he's not winning this. Kyle O'Reilly, yeah, it's too soon. Kyle O'Reilly's a guy who I think is going to win that belt if he does in like a solid one-on-one match. So it's not going to be him. But now I'm torn between Kross and Cole. I was thinking of thinking Kross because I'm like, this is the long reign he should have had after he beat Keith Lee last year. But you're right. He's a guy Vince is like, I want him on my main show. You know, that was my bad Vince impression.
I was going to say your other impressions were good, though.
Thank you. Shut up. Can't win them all, jerk. Anyway. But
I'm not doing any material.
I'm not doing any material for In Your House. So it's tough. Obviously, it's if Cole wins, he's pinning Gargano. He's not going to pin Kross. I could see you know, Cole being the guy who picks his spots, comes in, takes a shot. I mean, I could see Karrion Kross barely getting two moves of offense on Adam Cole in this match. Just because Adam Cole will be smart and sneak through, and you got three other guys between them, you know. Now I'm torn because of all you guys.
You're welcome.
What was your pick coming in here when you walked in here today?
My pick was Cross, and now wow. I'm starting to think, you know what, maybe because Cole and O'Reilly still have plenty of beef between them that still needs to get solved.
And just think of the pop when Kyle beats Adam for the title.
Yes, I agree.
You guys are killing me with the dead air.
I could see there's
so much editing.
I could see them, you know, feuding out forever. I could see O'Reilly getting a shot maybe in a couple weeks on a NXT that they hype up, fights his heart out, loses to Cross, and then Cole tries to get his way in. It doesn't happen. Maybe a triple threat at SummerSlam takeover.
Are you running all the scenarios right now?
I'm trying to branch out what I think. Yes. And then I could see in a triple threat, I could see Cole pinning O'Reilly to beat Cross's title. And then you got that. Then you got Cross going to the main to Raw.
I think you're trying to convince yourself right now.
I'm doing my own mental gymnastics.
That's what I'm saying, man. Yes. I think you're really in a. I thought you were going to take it home and like.
Sorry, I'm going to avoid the sweep. I'm going to go Karrion Kross.
Karrion Kross, no.
I'm sorry.
Back. No.
Not now.
Don't be sorry. But
the scenario of him dropping the belt without getting pinned could easily happen in a couple weeks. In a couple months, rather.
Don't be sorry. That was my gut reaction when they booked this. He's going to run through everybody, all that. I don't know
how you had that wristband waiting to go.
My initial thought, like when the match was booked a couple weeks ago, I don't even know if this is going to be a great match. It could be a little messy with so many moving parts. Like I said, that triple threat before. Kimmy, what you got?
No main event should have more than four people if it's not a gimmick match. So I don't think this match is going to be good. I feel like triple threat matches, yes, but odd number non-gimmick matches over four never go well. There's a reason that every multi-man main event has a gimmick, a Royal Rumble, an Elimination Chamber, a Scramble.
It's a fair point.
I think they're going to
never say
my lock of the night is going to be a Tower of Doom spot, but that's my lock of the night.
Oh, yeah. There you go. That's very fair. It could be good. Like the competitors in that match, like that's the marquee, that's the poster right there. No doubt, that's the price of admission. I'm excited for that match, but yeah, it's you know one of those things like three guys get thrown out right at the beginning, kind of a thing. Like you need to really make this work. But if any five guys can make this work, four of them could be. No, I'm just kidding. Like it'll be really great. So guys, obviously check that out Sunday night. And
also,
what do you got,
Mike? I also just think like you know if Cross retains here. He could have a couple of great one-on-one matches with Pete Dunne and then with Kyle O'Reilly defending the belt, making them look good before eventually, you know, they're not going to have Cross and Cole one-on-one. That's never going to happen.
See, I thought that was going to be it.
No, because Cole's not beating him one-on-one and Cross beating Cole one-on-one kills any, you know, Cole's momentum to get that belt back, which Cole will eventually do. I think maybe a triple threat later on.
We'll see. We'll see how Sunday plays out first. But guys, thank you so much for making the time. Shameless promo for me real quick. Very, very excited to have one of my favorite up and comers right now. You see him on AEW Dark, AEW Elevation. I had great matches with the likes of, I don't know, the Good Brothers and Kenny Omega on AEW Dynamite. Very excited to be talking with the Radioactive Poppy himself, Mr. Danny Limelight, next week on the BCP. That's a dream interview for me. Really excited for that. That was kind of bucket list, you know, goals for this year. So very excited for that. Guys, let's get the shameless promo all around. Kimmy, you know, roll out that scroll, read down the list. What do you got?
I thought we were saving you for last because mine was really long, but okay.
They're here for you, Kimmy. They want to see us all.
I got guys. Nothing to promote. Thank you for having me. This is very fun.
Anytime,
thank you,
bro.
All right. Let's see if I can remember everything. So we'll start easy. Instagram, Kimmy Talks Wrestling, and Twitter, Kimmy_Sokol. So, if you haven't heard, Wrestling with Questions, I'm working exclusively with Ring of Honor and the one and only, here's your name drop, Maria Kanellis Bennett. I will have exclusive interviews with most women who are competing in the women tournament to crown a new women champion for Ring of Honor in the fall. So make sure to check it out on my YouTube channel, Kimmy Talks Wrestling. For my Raw, NXT, AEW, SmackDown, Impact reviews, head over to the No Holds Barred Network where me, Tiff, and Kyle, we talk all about wrestling. You have Kyle and Tiff on the All Elite podcast. Tiff is interviewing independent stars, and you have me doing all types of reviews. You could also see me on the Pop Break. I write things there. Make sure to check my article out, where you think the six new release superstars are going. I think I hit it right on the nail.
Ooh.
Also, internship. I'm exclusively working with the Open Mat this summer. I'm writing all about NCAA, amateur, Olympic, high school wrestling. I'm covering my own college's wrestling season. I'm predicting what I think is going to happen. So check that article out on Friday. And I think that's it. I hope I hit everything. Thanks for having me. And I'm hopefully excited to come back on next year to predict Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, very, very, very well said, Kimmy. And a partridge in a pear tree. Matt, what do you got for us, man?
Look, man, if you're not seeing me here on Bob Culture Podcast,
damn right,
read me on thepropbreak.com, doing NXT Weekly right now. We're also up doing, along with wrestling, we do music, movies, TV, everything pop culture. We're going to be doing a weekly retrospective of the new Loki series that's out on Disney Plus right now. I will be one of the parties to that. Follow me on Twitter at @AntiSmark, AntiSmark with two A's, where you can watch me pretty much agree with everything former WCW Cruiserweight Champion Crowbar says.
And about I've worked with Crowbar before. Says. He's a great guy. He's so funny.
Name drop.
He's great. And he makes a lot of solid points when he's in and out of character, I should say. And if you can't read, you can always hear me next time on
The merch podcast. My man, get the shirts, tpublic.com. Kimmy, what's the next signing you guys got coming up? Anything coming up?
Oh, thanks for reminding me. I did forget something. Okay.
I got you.
Okay, June 25th, we have recently NXT released superstar Vanessa Bourne. And June 26th, we have former WWE Divas champion Eve Torres.
Yes, big fan of you for a long time. Yeah, awesome. All right, guys. Well, good job on the shameless promo. Everyone enjoy NXT TakeOver in your house this Sunday. And like we always say here on the BCP, everyone stay safe, stay positive, take care of each other. Baby, we out. Peace.